As you say, it is a complicated business. Jeremy Hunt, what do you make of it? You don't like the word crisis. You don't think we're in a crisis. It sounds like it when you have the situation that Mr. Proctor described there in his own hospital.
Well, there's a huge amount of pressure. That's absolutely clear. And the first thing listening to him is that I think we all want to recognise the incredible hard work of NHS staff, his staff in Scarborough, but actually NHS staff throughout the country over the Christmas period, who have never worked harder. And it is very, very hard work. It's sometimes quite distressing when you have a lot of patients and you can't give them the care that you want to give them. And I think we also have to recognise, despite the particular pressures, despite the major incidents, and you always get some major incidents at this time of year, that the NHS is continuing to see in A&E departments 9 out of 10 people within the 4-hour target. And that is actually better than any other country in the world that measures these things.
Yeah, it doesn't help you, though, if you're one of those people who cannot get the treatment you should be getting.
No, it doesn't. And we want to do better than that, and we want to do everything we can. But what we don't want to do, and I was, you know, very encouraged to hear Mike referencing this, is for trust to make compromises, as has happened in the past, on patient safety, on compassionate care, just in order to hit the target. Targets matter, but not at any cost. And I think what we're seeing across the NHS is heroic efforts in very, very challenging circumstances. Just on the very specific points, though, he talked about staffing. And we are making some progress. In the last year alone, we've got 1,800 more doctors in the NHS and nearly 5,000 more
nurses. So why can't he recruit?
Well,
he's got 30%.
Actually, in Scarborough, he's got nearly 1,000 more nurses than 4 years ago, but he'd just like even more. And
well, he needs more doctors. He needs another 30% vacancies unfilled in his hospital for doctors.
Yes, and he's recruited more doctors in that area. He's got around 300 more doctors.
But you heard what he just said about desperately needing more.
And that is, I think, what most people would say in the NHS, a sense that although capacity is expanding, there is a sense of running just to keep still because the demand at the front door continues to increase at an even greater rate. And I think there is some hope for people like Mike and people in the NHS because in the last 6 months, something very important has changed, which is that the NHS itself has lifted up the bonnet on this problem and looked at the heart of the issue and come up with its own plan to deal with it. And it was put together by NHS England, by Simon Stevens, the new chief executive, and the government in the autumn statement, because it costs money, agreed to fund it. We can do that on the back of the strong economy that's possible because of difficult decisions that have been made. So I don't want to say that's a silver bullet, but I think that is a sense of progress. What is the
Well, it clearly is not. Just pick up your silver bullet idea. It clearly isn't as far as A&E is concerned, is it? Because as we heard from Dr. Mann earlier, the tariffs, the system of reimbursing the hospital, means that it's fine if you're running an elective or a big elective hospital where people go for elective surgery and that sort of thing. But all acute care, I'm quoting him directly here, loses money, and in times of austerity, it's difficult for trusts to invest properly in emergency departments, which they see as a loss-making part of the business. And that's just balmy, isn't it? How can looking after people who are in desperate need be seen as a loss-making part of a business?
Well, he is absolutely right. And in fact, his STEP programme is a very important part of the long-term plan.
Well,
we absolutely are. And that's what the 5-year forward view, this NHS England plan does.
He didn't seem to think you were.
No, I think if you talk to him, he's very encouraged about the way that we're responding to it. But the point he's making, which is absolutely right, is that the incentives aren't right. And let's look at the heart of this. The real issue is the way that we look after the most vulnerable and frail older people. And at the moment, all the incentives are to treat them in hospitals, and that is causing hospitals to fill up. And we need a system where there is a doctor in the NHS. If you have an older mother or father or grandparent, you know that if they've got complex long-term conditions, there's someone in the NHS where the buck stops who is looking out for them, not just when they're in hospital.
But we've known this for 5 years. We always know the sentences you're going to... With great respect. I mean, we have heard you say this many times before. You've been saying it, your predecessors have been saying it for many, many, many years. You've had 5 years to do something about it. Why haven't you?
Well, I think we have. We've made some good progress.
Then we wouldn't have this crisis if you had.
With respect, if you look at what the A&E departments are doing, we have increased capacity. We've got thousands more doctors, we've got thousands more beds in preparation for this winter. But as I say, the demand is...
hospitals declaring major incidents as we speak.
But I do think it's important to remind people listening to this programme that the NHS is continuing to see 9 out of 10 people within the 4 hours.
It should see 10 out of 10 people, but that isn't the point, is it? You can't constantly say, look, we have got better. It's people go to hospital and they can't get treatment for themselves or their loved ones.
Well, let's look at the progress that has been made, because I think this is important. So the first thing is that we have introduced this year name GPs for all over 75s. That means GPs taking personal responsibility for every single over 75. That was something that was scrapped in 2004. We started, and this is something that a lot of people have focused on, the merging of the health and social care system. So from this April, in 150 local authority areas, there have been, for the first time...
But you haven't done enough, have you? You'd acknowledge that.
Well, you can never do enough, but I think we have done a great deal to make sure that we're treating older people with dignity and respect. We've been dealing with, for example, the challenges of mid-staffs and making sure that even in the pressures that we're facing at the moment, hospitals know that the priority is to treat people with dignity and respect.
And the Labour Party will argue, the Labour Party do argue, that what it needs is more money. You haven't been prepared to put in enough money. They will put in a lot more money and they'll sort the problem out.
Well, that's what they argue. But if you look at the facts, actually, in the autumn statement, the government had a choice. On the back of an economy that is recovered, on the back of a country that is on the right track, we had extra resources available. And when the Chancellor and the Prime Minister had that choice, they chose to prioritise the NHS. They said that they're going to back the plan put together by NHS England with £2 billion of extra funding. You can only do that if you have the strong economy to give the NHS those resources.
Final thought. Do you think the hospitals who've declared these major incidents have overreacted, panicked a bit?
No, I think that they are genuinely finding it very difficult and they're genuinely making clinical decisions on the basis of what is right for patients, and we want to give them every support to get through a very difficult period.
Jeremy Hunt, many thanks.
Thank you.
24 minutes past 8.